The Challenge of the Yukon.
I'm king of you huskies!
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. It was early afternoon, and Sergeant Preston was on patrol duty in the Yukon with his lead dog, the Great King. The snow was swept clean from much of the land, and Preston had left his sled and team in town.
What is it, King? All right, King, you lead the way. He's going after something, but I can't make out what it is. He's following a scent. It'll be a good idea to see what it leads to. All right, boy, I'm coming. Yes, I see, King. Footprints, huh? Well, that's strange. Snow's partially covered those tracks. It's worth investigating. The wind swept this land clean. The tracks stop. King, old fellow, you'll have to lead from here on. That cave over there? Is that where you're going, King? Well, King, you've never been wrong before. Whatever's in that cave must be pretty important. This is one place we've missed on our patrols, King. Here's some wood. Someone uses this cave. What for? Now, look at these pelts. Fox, lynx, beaver. Why, they're beautiful. Trapper who uses this cave for a storeroom has certainly got a fortune in furs. One man couldn't have. Well, this cave is full of pelts. Yes, King? What's over there now? Oh, I see. So this is what had you so excited, boy. Now, what would any trapper with these rich skins be doing with dog and wolf pelts? They have no value. I can understand a trapper building up a supply of high-grade pelts, but why would he keep so many of these worthless ones? What is it, boy? Someone coming? Yes, King. There's something wrong here, and we can't get out without being discovered. We'll get back at the far end of the cave. Here. We should be safe here. Now, play dead, King. Play dead, boy.
Another bunch we'll cash in on.
That's the last of them, thank heaven. I'm so tired hauling these pelts.
Almost over now. We take one more load of dog and wolf skins to the storehouse, and then the whole thing can go up in smoke.
Yeah. Those trappers, they'll take it mighty hard. It's a good thing you made them sign those contracts.
Our agreements will make us rich. We don't pay till a shipment is made.
That contract was the smartest thing you ever put together, Vance.
I'm jack of all trades, and it pays to know a little about them all. I didn't have much to do with any law, but I can draw up a watertight contract, and there's not a thing any of those trappers can do to break their agreements.
Just look at that beaver skin. It's a beauty.
It's a beauty, all right. We're sitting mighty pretty. Look at those fox pelts.
These skins will bring a fortune.
Yep. We have a gold mine in the fur business.
All them trappers need is to hear the prices we pay for the skins, and they're bringing the best ones to us in carloads.
The best part of it is we pay when shipment's made, and we never ship.
Well, we can't tote these wolf and dog skins to the warehouse till dark, Vance.
No, we might as well stay right here till sundown.
Yeah, I'll start a fire.
Wait a minute. Leave that firewood alone. Let me listen.
What's eating you, Vance?
There's someone in this cave.
Oh, who could be?
Someone in here, I tell you.
Listen, Vance, there ain't a soul knows about this cave. Well, we can look around just to make sure if it'll make you feel any better.
It's no joke, Duval. I know there's someone in here.
You got a sixth sense, Vance.
You go along that wall. I'll take this side.
Well, there's so many parts of this cave, we can look all night and still not be anywhere.
Shut up.
I don't know what's got into you lately, Vance. You was never so edgy before.
Come out with your hands up. It'll go a lot easier with you.
We ain't gonna walk into our arms, Vance. If there is somebody in here, you know that.
And we'll search this cave till we find him. Come on.
I don't know where he gets these ideas. Someone in the cave. He's taking this thing pretty serious.
That's a warning. Come out with your hands up.
Your shot loosened some rocks.
Oh.
Hey, what the?
I told you there was somebody in here. Now bring that light over. I've got a gun and I'm going to use it.
Maybe some of that rock hit him, Vance.
Hurry up with that light.
Jumping horned toads of Mountie.
Well, I never expected to meet Sergeant Preston knocked out by a couple of falling rocks. Come on, Duval, we'll tie him up before he regains consciousness.
Here's some of that rope we used to tie the pelts together.
That'll be all right. If that mutt moves, shoot him.
Oh.
There, that does it. You had a hard time getting free of these ropes.
Oh, my head.
Shut up, you mutt.
King, old fella.
We gotta do something about this Mountie, Vance. He heard us talking.
Don't worry, we'll take care of him. Shoot that mutt, Duval.
Quiet, King.
Call him out here.
All right, King. Come on out, boy.
Shoot him, Duval.
Oh, now, Vance.
You heard me. Are you going to shoot him or will I?
Make a break for it, King. Go on, boy.
Well, get him.
No, you won't, Vance. You're not going to kill King.
Go ahead. Shoot Duval.
It's no use, Vance. He's clean away.
If you'd have shot him when I told you.
King. Hey, King, is that the dog?
Yeah, that's the smartest lead dog in the Yukon. And now he's going to bring help, thanks to you.
Well, we better get rid of this Mountie fast then, Vance.
Sure. Fine. Have you got any ideas?
I'll put a couple of bullets in him right now.
You should have thought of that when the dog was here. No, it's suicide to kill a Mountie.
You'll never get away with this.
Listen, Preston. This is one time you're not holding the gun. You'll die all right, but without bullet marks on you.
You can't win, Vance. Sometime and soon, the inspector will send one of the other Mounties to see what's happened.
Let him. By that time, Duval and me will be so far out of the Yukon, your law will never catch up with us. Don't worry, when you're found, Preston, it's not going to look like murder.
What do you aim to do with him, Vance?
We'll gag him and take him for a walk.
You mean...
Yes. We'll have to go ahead with our plans tonight. We can't waste any time. That dog will have someone back here in a few hours.
You're right. Let's pack up these furs and get moving.
Late that night, with heavy packs on their shoulders, Vance and Duval sneaked into Machete and forced Preston at the point of a gun to go ahead of them.
They'll go right to the warehouse.
Yeah. The sooner we get there, the better. I don't like going through the town carrying this stuff.
Don't worry, no one will stop us.
I'm thinking about that dog.
Once Preston's out of the way, our troubles are over. Of course, it'd be different if that mutt could talk. Here we are.
I was so glad to see any place in all my life. This Mountie was downright obedient.
Throw him down on top of some of those worthless pelts, then tie his feet.
All right, Mountie. You won't be able to move when I finish tying this.
Put a lot of these dog skins around him.
You figure he's...
We want Sergeant Preston's death in the fire to look real. We want to be sure there's not a chance for him to get out alive.
I get you, Vance. That way you can say he was caught trying to save someone from the burning warehouse, huh? A good idea.
There's someone in this outfit has got to get ideas. Come on, Duval, we'll put some of this oil around.
That ought to be enough, Vance.
Yeah, that'll do it. Now I'll take this lamp.
Yeah, those skins burn plenty fast.
This place will be an inferno in 5 minutes.
Less than that. Come on, let's get out of here.
I don't want to be too close to this place when the fire is discovered.
Attracted first by the red glow of the flames against the darkness of the night, men poured from ramshackle buildings surrounding the warehouse, and watched the fire. They knew the furs inside were lost. They knew that the cost of the damage would break many a trapper's heart. But they didn't know that inside the building, Sergeant Preston lay bound and gagged, helpless in the face of certain death. A tall, lanky trapper came from Machete City's cafe. The expression on his face told the story more eloquently than words.
Hey, all my furs are in there.
Yeah, look at them flames.
I'm going in there.
You're local. If you do, you'll never get out alive.
My warehouse.
We're ruined.
Ain't a chance in the world of saving anything.
Duval, if that building caves in, we haven't a chance.
Yes, and it's gone.
My furs. Man, 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 listen to me.
You better make good of them first, Vance.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it, Vance?
Boys, I'm sorry.
What about us?
Vance, we won't lose everything, will we?
What Wait about a minute. What Listen to me. You men all signed agreements with us. We agreed to pay when we ship the furs. If the furs aren't shipped, we don't pay.
You mean I've lost a whole year's trapping in that fire and I get nothing to show for it?
I'm sorry, Hankins, but there's not a thing we can do about it.
We lost the warehouse.
There goes the building.
Does it, Duval? Preston's covered with red-hot embers by now.
I gotta hand it to you, Vance.
Well, Hankins, what was in that warehouse is just a hopeless loss now.
You ought to give us at least a quarter of what our furs were worth, Vance. If we'd have taken them to Hudson Bay Company, we'd
Well,
have
you
gotten...
didn't take them to the Hudson Bay Company. Why do you suppose you pay such high prices? We got competition to meet. We meet it the best way we know how, that's with highest prices. We don't allow a cent for any losses.
You don't have to take a loss, Hankins.
Preston. No, no, wait, I'm seeing things.
Oh. How did that
You're
muddy...
not saying things, Duval, but you soon will be. The inside of a jail.
That mutt, he must
Yes,
have...
Vance, thanks to King here, I got out of that burning warehouse. He chewed through the ropes.
What did you mean, Sergeant? You said I don't have to take no loss.
I meant just what I said, Hankins. Your furs, together with the furs of the other trappers, are all safe in a cave about 2 miles from here.
Well, how about... Vance said...
Vance and Duval are under arrest.
You'll have to prove your story first, Monty.
I'll prove it. Hankins, I'll take you to that cave where you'll find your furs.
Well, it ain't no crime to put furs in a cave. And as for yourself, Monty, you can't
Maybe
prove...
Maybe I we... can't prove you tried to kill me, Duval.
You have no charge, Preston, and you know it. You can't prove we burned down our own warehouse. We didn't know the furs had been transferred to the cave. Someone else did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We didn't know nothing about it.
You have agreements with these trappers to pay them high prices when you ship. You agreed to those high prices because you didn't expect to pay them. But we'll make sure you ship now. The law will see you stand by every word of your agreement.
Sergeant, that contract gives them 30 days to ship.
Don't worry, Hankins. They'll ship in 30 days, all right. And you'll have your money. Yes, King, the case is closed.
Upholding the motto of the Northwest Mounted Police, Sergeant Preston and the Great Dog King maintain the riot and get their man. Don't miss their next thrilling adventure when they meet the challenge of the Yukon once again on Saturday at 6:30.
On King! On you Husky!
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network. The Challenge of the Yukon.
On King! On you Husky!
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. Driving, ceaseless snow made the vast Yukon a blurred mass of whiteness. But even the fury of the storm could not obscure the natural protection of a group of huge rocks that shut out the merciless winds. It was there the two men crouched, guns within easy reach, while they rubbed their hands together for warmth.
You picked a fine day to do this job, Manny. I ain't seen weather like this since I come to the Yukon.
Listen, Tom, you know the reason we're here. I can't help it if Jim Glynn always drives into Melville City on Wednesdays, can I? Rain, snow, or shine don't make no difference to him.
It'll have to be a plenty rich haul to be worth freezing to death.
Glynn's carrying the finest lot of furs this side of the Great Divide. I know that for a fact.
Well, he's done his last bit of trapping. You see him coming yet, Manny?
I can't see far beyond these rocks. He ought to be along. You know, Tom, I don't like the idea of doing away with Glynn.
Ain't no other way to get our hands on them furs, is there?
No.
Well, then.
Murder's the one thing we ain't done, Tom.
Only because we could get what we wanted without it. The other robberies were easy.
Yeah.
Ain't he coming yet?
Yeah. I think that's a sled along there. But it's too far away to be sure.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me see. Ever since you had that touch of snow blindness, you can't tell a man from a grizzly at 30 feet. I think he's coming, Manny.
Yeah.
We'll wait till he's alongside of these rocks, then
we'll open up on him, huh?
That's the idea. Got your gun ready?
Yeah.
Well, we'll just wait now and surprise Mr. Glynn. He's making right good time.
Yeah. He's got a good set of dogs. What are you grinning at?
Jim Glynn racing like that to the bullet.
This ain't no time for jokes, Tom. Sometimes
I... Take it easy, kid. Here he comes now. Get ready.
Mush, you all of them! Mush!
That did it.
Come on, Tom. Let's get those furs and get out of here.
Watch out for that lead dog there, Manny. He's loose.
All right. But I want to get these furs on the wire sled.
Look out, Manny. He's going to jump.
Oh! Get down, you mutt! Oh, let go of my hand! Out! Oh.
Nice shot, Manny.
Nice shot. That mutt tore my hand.
Say, sure got you. Here, let me help you.
I'll have to put a bandage of some kind on till we get to town.
It'll be a while before you'll be able to do much with this hand, Manny.
I'll take care of it when we get back to town. Come on, Tom.
The snow covered tracks almost as soon as they were made, so Sergeant Preston, heading for Melville City, had no way of knowing that he was trailing a murdered man. But as they neared the rocks, the great dog King sensed death in the air.
What is it, King, huh? All right, fella, you lead the way. Ho, you huskies, ho, boys. Why, King, there's nothing but snow. Nuzzling around this snow won't get... King, there's a body here. So this is why you... It's Jim Glynn. He must have been. But why? Shot through the heart. And his dog. So they killed the dog, too. And no wonder you were excited, boy. He's following tracks over to those rocks. Oh, now I begin to see. Tracks here haven't been covered by the snow. Sheltered by rocks. Those two men were standing here. They waited here till Jim Glynn was practically in front of them before they fired. Jim didn't have a chance. If they waited here, then they must have... Well, it's hard to tell which way they went. Well, King, what have you found now? Oh, more tracks, huh? Yeah, here's a bandana. CN. CN. Now, who could... Newton. Cy Newton. He pulled in here about the same time the two other fellas were here. And the tracks don't differ. They're about the same depth. King, we're going to Melville City to call on Cy at the Silver Lantern Cafe.
Cy Newton sat at the table in a back room of the Silver Lantern Cafe, resting his head on his hands. In spite of the fact that it was early afternoon, the sun had already gone down. The glimmer of the dingy light thrown from the sputtering oil lamp showed where Cy's Mackinaw lay in a corner of the room, wet with melted snow.
Oh, Cy, I didn't know you were here.
Hello, Manny.
What's the matter? You look like you got something on your mind.
I have.
Well, what is it? Business is good, ain't it?
happened to your hand?
Oh, one of them stray mutts bit me. I've got to fix the dressing.
He sure tore into you.
Yeah, I guess he belongs to one of the trappers out front.
Ain't no use lying to me, Manny.
Lying, do you?
Yeah, I know how you got that dog bite.
I don't savvy what you're driving at. Come on, we'll have a few drinks. You're just down the dumps.
No, Manny, I ain't just down in the dumps. I know how you got that dog bite, and I know where you got it.
What do you mean?
I mean we're through, Manny. I've been keeping quiet for a long time now, but there's a limit to everything. What I saw today was...
All right,
to...
Si, let's have it. Come on.
Well, I knew when you was taking cash from the safe, Manny. But I figured if you needed it, that was your business, so I didn't say anything. Then you started bringing them low-down friends of yours in here.
You better be careful what you say, Si.
I'm getting this off my chest, and then you're getting out of here. Even when them mangy-looking crooks was fleecing everyone who'd play a game of poker with them. Because they was your friends, it was all right.
And as long as I got half interest in this cafe, they can still come here.
Well, if you're smart, you'll get out of the Yukon, Manny. When them fur robberies started, I didn't connect anything at first. That is, I didn't till you began flashing around so much extra money.
I won that money at poker.
You ain't never held a winning poker hand in your life, and you know it. But I got all I can take this morning. I was at Split Rocks, Manny. And I saw what happened to Jim Glynn.
Why, you...
Oh, don't worry, I'll keep quiet. You're clearing out of this cafe. You and all your friends, Manny. You and me are through, do you hear? I don't care if I ever see you again.
Not gonna be that
Manny and Si didn't realize that as they talked, their voices took on the loud, argumentative ring that carried to the ears of Manny's friends playing poker in the back of the cafe.
Well?
It's us, Manny.
The door opened, and led by Tom Bryant, six men filed into the room, their hands resting on their guns. Si's appraisal of their worth left no margin for improvement. The dregs of the Yukon stood in that room. And Si, as he glanced over the lot of them, shivered.
Well, we thought you
this
might...
This is a private argument. You boys can clear out.
They can clear right out of the cafe while they're at it. Are you going to tell them, Manny, or will I?
You'll regret this, Si.
I ain't regretting nothing. Only thing I'm sorry for is the day we went into business together.
I think we better stick around, boys.
Now get out, all of you.
You can't prove a thing, Si.
I can prove everything I said. That hand of yours...
I told you you'd better get him out of the way. If you won't drop him, I will. My arm! Let go of my arm!
I'm going to finish you off right now.
Drop that gun, Manny.
Why, you yellow scum?
You ain't hit, Manny.
Manny. Manny.
No, you don't. You've done what you set out to.
Here, let me see that man.
You better take care of Newton, Monty. You still got life in him. Come on, Rube. Left of you two, help me carry him out.
Just a minute.
All right, boys, come on.
Yes, King, I know. We shouldn't have let them get away. There's something mighty strange here. Oh. I think this might be the best way to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, my head.
It'll be all right, Si. Got a nasty bump there.
You saw it all, Sergeant Preston.
No, Si, I didn't see it all. I saw Manny draw his gun. Next thing I knew, you'd fired, and Bryant rushed up to Manny before he fell.
Oh, I did it all right. I killed him, Sergeant.
Now, listen, Si. I want you to tell me exactly what happened from the beginning.
Then when I tried to go up to him, Bryant...
Yes, I know. Ryan's pretty free with his fists.
I didn't aim to do no shooting. I didn't even think I hit him when he dropped.
You couldn't hit the front of a house at 10 feet, Si.
What are you looking for, Sergeant?
Manny drew first. I saw him.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it? He could have easy killed me and... Oh, well. I guess it's up to you now, Sergeant. I'll just come along with you.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm under arrest, ain't I?
Well, I can't arrest you. Manny's proven dead. Now, let's see. You were standing right here.
I can't see what you're driving at. It seems to me...
You stand here, Si.
Here?
Yes. Now... I thought so.
What?
I've got a murderer to catch, Si, and I need your help.
A rumor spread through Melville City like wildfire. As one man told another, the story gained importance. Soon, even the most incredulous of the miners were repeating the news. Sergeant Preston brought Jim Glynn into Melville City on his sled. Jim, badly wounded, was being cared for in a room at the Silver Lantern, and Cy was held in jail.
Will he be able to name the men who robbed him, Sergeant?
If Jim Glynn is able to speak, he'll undoubtedly name the men who tried to murder him.
The miners and trappers who frequented the Silver Lantern speculated. Was Cy responsible for the robbery as well as for the murder of Manny?
Cy confessed yet, Sergeant?
Cy refuses to talk.
Did you hear the news, Manny?
Yeah.
Preston's waiting for Jim Glynn to talk.
I wonder if Glynn saw us.
We can't take no chances. He might have had a good long look at us while we was loading our sled.
What do you aim to do?
We'll make sure he don't talk.
Late the next night, two men approached the back entrance to the Silver Lantern Cafe.
Lucky you had that key, Manny.
Yeah. Sorry, I ain't been around to change the lock.
You can't change much when you're in jail.
Come on, let's get this over with. I don't know why you're so dead set in making sure you get him this time.
You ain't got a thing to worry about. As far as everybody knows, you're dead. But if Glynn talks, I'll be the one to be jailed for that shooting.
That Molly hadn't picked him up.
Come on. He ought to be in this room. Yeah. He's sleeping. He'll never know what hit him.
Go on. Let him have it before he wakes up.
You're covered. Drop that gun, Bryant.
Preston!
Reckon I can get up now, eh, Sergeant?
Yes, Cy. You can help tie your ghost friend here. So you're very much alive, Manny.
I thought...
You believed that story about Jim Glynn being still alive, didn't you?
You brought him in on your sled.
We brought Jim's body to Melville City. Then Cy told the barkeep we'd use the back room here for Jim till he recovered.
We've been tricked.
You ain't been tricked any worse than you tried to trick me, you low-down skunks. I'd have hung for killing you, Manny.
You're under arrest, both of you.
You'll have to get me first, Manny.
I'll shoot, Manny.
Let go! All right, now shoot, Manny. If you do, you'll hit Cy.
Go on, Sergeant, shoot!
Yeah, shoot. I'm getting out of here, see? I'm using Cy for a shield.
At him, King. Get him, boy.
Oh, my hand! Let go of my hand!
Here, Cy, you keep this gun on Bryant. All right, King. Oh. That's the second dog to catch your left hand, isn't it, Manny? You're under arrest. Yes, King, the case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.